A new U.S. probe has revealed that police officials have withheld or distorted evidence of hundreds of criminal cases. The findings signal that innocent lives may have been lost.
An investigation has revealed that corrupt U.S. officials have interfered with evidence in hundreds of cases. An internal audit shows that the State Bureau of Investigation, SBI, misinterpreted or hid test results in 230 cases involving blood work in North Carolina. The probe was commissioned by State Attorney General Roy Cooper, who oversees the SBI. The exoneration of Greg Taylor, a Wake County man, prompted the review. SBI agent Dwayne Deaver has admitted that he failed to report tests indicating a substance on Taylor's SUV was not blood. Deaver, who has been suspended, has said his bosses told him to write reports that withheld vital information. Taylor was declared innocent in February after 17 years in prison. The full impact of the disclosure will reverberate for years to come as prosecutors and defense attorneys re-examine cases going as far back as two decades. With at least 80 are still behind bars, some of the injustices can be addressed as attorneys bring old cases back to court. For others, it's too late. Three of the defendants in botched cases have been executed. Cardi faces imminent execution, having been convicted of ordering the murder of Juana Rodriguez in 2001. She has always protested her innocence, and activists argue that she had no adequate legal representation at her trial. At the times of economic hardship for the U.S. public when millions are losing their jobs, such blatant instances of judicial injustice is like rubbing salt into an open wound.
Floods continue to wreak havoc in Pakistan as devastating waters have submerged new towns and villages in the south. Around 150,000 people have been forced to evacuate after the swollen Indus River submerged new areas in Sindh province. The weeks-long floods have already affected one-fifth of Pakistani territory and 20 million people. The disaster has left more than 1,600 dead and 6 million homeless so far. The UN has warned of a second wave of deaths unless flood victims receive immediate aid, clean water, and medicine. The country is facing both humanitarian and economic catastrophe. The UN Food Program says it needs more helicopters to reach a large number of people still cut off from the flooding. Violence continues to rock Indian-controlled Kashmir. Indian security forces have once again clashed with pro-independence protesters in the valley. Thousands of people took to the streets of Kashmir's summer capital, Srinagar, to protest the arrest of local youths. They were chanting anti-India and pro-freedom slogans. Indian security forces fired tear gas to disperse the angry protesters. On Friday, police detained at least 20 people who were protesting the killing of civilians. Kashmir has been rocked by violent street protests since early June. The violence has claimed over 60 lives. The unrest shows no signs of easing, despite the deployment of thousands of troops in the Himalayan region.
Improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, have been posing a great challenge to foreign forces in Afghanistan. According to Pentagon's Joint IED Defeat Organization, the devices wounded a record number of U.S. troops in July 2010.
Makeshift bomb attacks in July wounded a record number of U.S.-led troops in Afghanistan. More than 1,300 improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, were detonated or defused in July, a new record, according to the Pentagon's Joint IED Defeat Organization. That's a 42% increase over July 2009. In July 2010, IEDs wounded 399 foreign forces, a 68% increase, and killed 53 others.
But I don't think that they can counter this issue, because IEDs are something that they cannot expect that, and they cannot, until they face it, they cannot imagine or expect that such a threat is existing, and they have to encounter that.
Many of the IEDs are planted along routes used by NATO and Afghan vehicles, mostly in the southern and eastern parts of the country, where the majority of U.S. troops are being deployed as part of a surge announced by U.S. President Barack Obama in December.
The Pentagon has announced that IED threats have increased in Afghanistan. This shows a shift in Taliban war tactics from suicide attacks to IEDs.
On the other hand, the United States is set to deliver $3 billion worth of equipment to Afghanistan aimed at countering Taliban-made Krupp bombs used in the war, a step which, according to the Afghans, would not be so effective against IED's threats in Afghanistan.
So investing $3 billion means that there is a huge attention to this issue. And IEDs have changed into strategic threats for the international forces.
IEDs are the biggest threat facing troops engaged in the war in Afghanistan, now well into its ninth year. They are easy and cheap to produce, often using ammonium nitrate fertilizer that's produced in Pakistan and tracked across the border into Afghanistan.
A UN report marked an alarming 94% increase in IED incidents in the first 4 months of this year compared to 2009, as the military says intensifying efforts against the Taliban are being matched by more attacks. For Press TV, Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Elsewhere, Swedish authorities have cancelled an arrest warrant for the founder of whistleblower website WikiLeaks shortly after it was issued on suspicion of rape.
The prosecutor in question has decided there's no longer reason to believe that Mr. Assange has committed rape, and therefore there's no longer a warrant for his arrest.
And the charges of assault and sexual molestation?
Molestation, yeah. She will look into that matter later. She hasn't been able to do that, but that's not enough for being arrested. It's not a serious crime enough.
Assange earlier condemned the warrant and described it as a dirty trick against him and his aides. He says the timing of the issue is deeply disturbing, this after his whistleblower website leaked a huge cache of reports about the U.S.'s untold killings of Afghan civilians. Assange and his team are set to unveil thousands more secret documents about the unpopular war in Afghanistan.
Long-awaited project set to be launched. Iran has started loading fuel into its first nuclear power plant.
All eyes on Iran's nuclear power plant in Bushehr. A display of national pride. The first batch of nuclear fuel rods were transferred into the plant on Saturday. Iranian officials say fuel will be transferred into the core of the reactor after necessary inspections. Some 35 years after the project first began, Bushehr will now be the first nuclear power reactor to generate electricity in the Middle East. Russia, the country that completed the plant, is proud of the job it's done.
This is a big and international power plant, and that is because its equipment came from 10 leading countries, a fact that has made this power plant unique.
The plant is seen as the symbol of patience and perseverance by Iranians. The fuel for the reactor is being provided by the Russians now. But Iran has made it clear that it has no intention to stop enriching uranium. Tehran says it wants to produce the required fuel for itself.
We would like to produce our required fuel by ourselves to meet our own requirements. We are a member of the NPT and it's our right to produce fuel. Even in the future, if we don't need the fuel ourselves, we can give it to those who require it through a fuel bank.
Bushehr power plant will have an operating capacity of 1,000 megawatts. Iran says it wants to build a network of nuclear power plants with a capacity of 20,000 megawatts by 2020. This to enable it to export more of its oil and gas.
Well, Israel says Iran's fueling up of its first nuclear power plant is, quote, totally unacceptable, while its main ally, the United States, has acknowledged that the Bushehr reactor does not pose any proliferation risk. Israel has urged the international community to increase pressure on Iran to cease construction of reactors. The reaction came after Iran loaded fuel into its reactor in Bushehr on Saturday. Israel, which is widely assumed to have a huge stockpile of nuclear weapons, accuses Iran of aiming to produce bombs. But Tehran has repeatedly said it wants nuclear power solely for energy production. Meanwhile, the U.S. and the U.K. have acknowledged Iran's right to build nuclear power stations. In a statement, the U.S. State Department has said that Iran's reactor is designed to provide civilian nuclear power.
Iran's defense minister has said the nation has the capacity to export arms to over 50 countries. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi described Iran's defense industry as dynamic. Vahidi added that the nation's achievements in the defense industry have helped pave the way for self-reliance. He also announced plans for another important homemade defense product on Sunday. Iran has just successfully test-fired the Qiyam missile, which is a surface-to-surface projectile. Iran has unveiled a series of advanced domestically built defense products over the past weeks. The defense products include Ghadir submarines and Karar warships.
In other news, organizers of a Lebanese all-women's aid ship destined for Gaza say their humanitarian mission will probably be delayed. This after Cyprus refused to allow the Bolivian-flagged aid ship Mariam use of its waters and ports. The Mariam was scheduled to set off from the northern Lebanese port of Tripoli to Cyprus on Sunday night. Organizers say they are working to get the green light from another country for a mid-route stop. They have been trying to contact Turkey and Greece to let the aid ship dock. Israel has threatened to stop the vessels from reaching the besieged coastal enclave. Tel Aviv has been widely condemned for its attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla in international waters on May the 31st. The attack left nine Turkish peace activists dead.